What is post-truth, just to start off with a basic question there?
Okay, well, I would say that the people involved with the post-truth initiative here at Sydney have different views on it. My view is that actually post-truth exists in the what I call the realm of reception. And what I mean by that is it's not really about politicians like Trump or in Brexit or big business lying, because politicians and the powerful have always lied. We have so many words to convey that: lying, dissembling, spin, propaganda. So this has always gone on. In my view, post-truth is that actually publics don't seem to care too much about their politicians lying. So as it's defined by the Oxford Dictionary, post-truth represents a period of time where publics are more governed by emotions and opinions than scientific facts.
Well, I guess we can go more into what you just said then. Like, politicians and powerful figureheads have been dissembling and spinning truth for a very long time. So what is the post-truth initiative attempting to change now?
Well, so we are concerned. I mean, I think lots of people are concerned about how we order rational public debate in a post-truth era where scientific facts don't seem to matter that much. So we're trying to do a few things. One is to locate, I think, the causes of post-truth. So where did it come from? Why and when did public stop believing in scientific facts? And you can see this through debates on climate change. But, you know, there's a whole range of issues where science seems to have a consensus, but the view is not widely accepted or not wholly accepted. There are always people who object to it. So we want to both locate the causes of post-truth and then think about what can we as academics do about it.
So does democracy and wider education improve the ability to tackle post-truth?
Yes. It's always been thought that there's a close relationship between levels of education and democracy. And the idea here is that in order for a well-functioning democracy, you need educated people that can assess the arguments and then make a judgment based on the arguments. So we've always thought that actually having good arguments based on reason and science has been conducive towards democracy. And I think what post-truth demonstrates is that that's no longer happening. That link is broke. And that's what I call the post-truth paradox.
Why do you think people, some people, hold such a grudge, or something similar to that manner, against scientific facts and other proven things like that? Why do you think people are so stubborn in rejecting truth and believing in post-truth?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. There's a long history to this. I mean, it used to be that we thought science was going to solve all of the kind of problems of society. But if you look through historical time, particularly World War II, for example, it was actually discovered that we could use science and technology not to make life better, but to make it worse. And so people began to be skeptical of technology. Also, the environmental problems that technology brings, lots of people blame those on science. So you have a general move. But my argument is actually that we academics are partly the producers of post-truth.
So what can academics actually do to promote the truth or critical thinking in that manner?
Okay, well, this is the real problem. Part of critical thinking that we all teach our students is that facts don't speak for themselves. They always need interpretation. We're always skeptical of all knowledge claims. That's what it means to be critical. The problem is we teach the students this kind of thinking, and I'm not sure we do enough of a good job to reconstruct their views of the world after we've told them how problematic facts are. So if you think that more people have been to university in most developed Western societies over the last 30 years or so, they've actually all been had increased exposure to critical thinking that asked them to be skeptical about knowledge claims. But I'm not sure we've done a great job in reconstructing their views of the world to show why one claim is better than another.
Yeah, right. I guess it can be kind of double-lined in a way there, where they ask students to criticise knowledge or no knowledge, and then it ends up being them criticising facts, and it's just a bit of a circle that runs in a line with the post-truth kind of thing.
Yeah, and but that's at the heart of being what it means to be a science, is to be sceptical, and this is the other side of the paradox. It's really interesting, you know, and I work at the University of Sydney, but, you know, we have this Unlearn program underway at the University of Sydney, and one of the slogans is Unlearn Truth, which, if you think about it literally, feeds into the post-truth era.
Indeed. You're on 2SCR 107.3. We're currently talking to Colin White. I'm sorry about that again.
Okay.
Professor of International Relations at the University of Sydney, discussing the post-truth. And he's currently at the Post-Truth Initiative, which is a strategic research excellent initiative at the University of Sydney. Colin, can you talk about some of the events or the panel discussion points on today at UCID?
Okay, well, today is organised over a series of key themes. So we've just had a look at the media and fake news. Later on, we'll be looking at the role of reason. So is reason historical? And then we'll be looking at more, what can we do about it? And then tonight, we've got a great panel with all the experts who've joined us from overseas who are going to be doing a panel that's open to the public.
Well, that sounds absolutely fantastic. So I'd strongly suggest people try and make their way down to that happening tonight. Colin, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thanks very much.